Throughout the season of Lent, we have been considering the last 7 days of Jesus' early life, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and his violent protest against the temple authorities. We recalled stories of the heights and the depths of our humanity, the heights of faith as demonstrated in the unnamed woman, and the depths of humanity as demonstrated in stories of denial, betrayal, and crucifixion. This morning, our journey comes to an end as we explore the story of Jesus' body coming down from the cross and being laid to rest in the tomb. The reading begins, Mark 15, verses 42 to 47. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that he had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. I'd like, as we begin, for you to imagine with me that you are sitting. Sitting at the grave of a loved one. Sitting at the grave of a loved one, and the fragrance of flowers is wafting into your nose. Sun is kissing your face, and the gentle wind is breezing by. You're sitting there and you're pondering the nature, death, life, and of meaning. And you're thinking about the words, perhaps, of Job, who once said, "If a man or a woman dies, will he or she live again?" These are the questions of Saturday that we ponder in our mind. They push our beliefs of faith to the edge. They cause us to search the depths of our faith and to really ponder what is the essence of life and death and that window in between. I must say that I think Holy Saturday, the day that we explore today, is the most confusing day of all the 7 days of Holy Week. It's confusing because, as you heard Penny read, the Gospels are silent about what happens today. This is a holy day. It's a Sabbath day of rest. This is the day after Friday's crucifixion, after Friday's burial. This is the day that Joseph of Arimathea has asked to receive Jesus' body down from the cross. The cross is empty. And Joseph received the body and he wrapped it in the linen cloth and he took it and he buried it into the family tomb. This is the day that the gospel stops. It is silent. There are no words that tell us what happened on this day. Similarly, two of the other gospels are identical to this as well. The Gospel of John, the Gospel of Matthew, there are no words that tell what happened on Holy Saturday. The Gospel of Luke is the only one that gives word around what happens today. The Gospel of Luke says that rest is what happened. The disciples rested according to the holy commandments. And this is a stark contrast in Mark from everything else that has been going on. If we were reading through Mark's gospel, it chronicles things so very well in detail, exactly what was happening Friday by the hour. But today, silence. Not a word is placed on the gospel of Mark about what happens today. Silence. We find Jesus somewhere between death and resurrection as we are here on Holy Saturday pondering the nature, the depth, and the meaning of our faith. As we do that, we might journey back 2, even 3 millennia back in our history, looking at what people of faith pondered and wondered about over time of what happened today. We might look at some of the early church creeds. We might look at some of the early Jewish theology, hymnody, art. It's interesting, Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, who wrote the book The Last 7 Days, which is what I've tried to base a lot of our journey through Lent, this series, on, they talked about today. They used this powerful phrase. They said, Holy Saturday is about God's great cleanup. Holy Saturday is the day that God will make the great cleanup that the generations upon generations had been waiting for. Generations had been oppressed, had been enslaved, had been murdered. We think back in time, all the way back to the days in Egypt and Babylon and Assyria. And now, well, the new players on the scene, now it's the Romans oppressing the people. And this was the time, their collective memory of all of those generations of suffering and pain, when they thought things would finally be redeemed. Think of some of the words, some of the songs that had so much meaning for the Hebrew people. We think about that one psalm. We wept by the rivers of Babylon when we remembered Zion. Those were the kind of things they remembered, the kind of collective pain, the kind of collective suffering, and the hope that they had for God's restoration, for God's great cleanup, God's vindication, that all would indeed be restored and made right. If you were to read into the book of the Apocrypha, which are a number of books that we read in Scripture that occur between the Old Testament and the New, it's those readings that talk about that hope, the sense of hope that God would indeed restore. In fact, that God would go all the way back and bring those who were martyred, that would bring them back and restore them to glory. It was a belief that one day God would balance the scales that had been so wrongly done over the generation, that God would balance the scales in this great cleanup that they had hoped for. And what they did was they viewed Jesus' death, they viewed yesterday as a part of that great cleanup. They understand Jesus' followers, that they saw that as this part of this profound restoration that would finally occur. Jesus' death was the genesis, the beginning of this profound cleanup, this profound vindication and restoration for all people. The Apostles' Creed is one of the early church creeds that talk about how this would come about. Some of you might even remember memorizing that in your early days in the church before our new creed. It talks about Friday. It talks about Friday, and it says Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, he's dead, and he was buried. And then it talks about Saturday. Jesus descended into hell. And then it talks about Sunday. It says, on the third day, he rose. Gospels were silent about Saturday, but the early church was not. The early church viewed this as the beginning of God's vindication, God's restoration, God's great cleanup. Now, it's probably helpful for us to talk a little bit about what the early church meant by when they said hell, because they don't mean what Dante's Inferno kind of later talked about. They don't mean what the Catholic Church later talked about. Hell, back when it was written then, was this place of non-existence. It was this place that was devoid of life, this place of waiting. And Jesus descending into that place that was devoid of life was to allow the faithful, to allow the martyrs, to allow those people of the past, the persecuted Jews, to be brought back with him, to brought back into a new existence, into a new living. Now, I think it's probably very helpful for us to take a pause here as we look back on some of the thoughts that happened in the past, and to think about what we ponder today in the 21st century. Because what we talk about when we say truth and understanding is very, very different today from what was happening in the early church, and even really since the 17th century and what they called the Enlightenment period. Today, since the Enlightenment, when we talk about truth, we talk about things that are factually able to be proven. Factual proof is identified with fact, truth and fact. That's kind of how we think of things today. But that is not, in the 1600s before, how they thought about truth. They thought back then, it wasn't the same sense of analytical truth that we do today. And what I think the gift of this text, the gift of its silence, is it allows us to find our own truth. The silent gospel in this Saturday allows us to sit and to ponder and to find our own sense of truth in terms of what is happening today in our faith. This is the gift of the gospel. We don't know what God was up to in Jesus, and it forces us to ponder. It forces us to reflect. It forces us to think in our own sense of faith what was truly happening at the tomb. I think it forces us to go back up and to sit at the tomb once again, to ponder, to think about the nature of what truth truly is when we think about Holy Saturday. It's almost like Pontius Pilate's question of Jesus, when he said, "What is truth?" We are trying to find that for our very own selves as well. So what is the truth, Holy Saturday? Well, as you're starting to think about that, I can share a few of my own personal thoughts that might get the conversation started. I don't believe Holy Saturday, the death, to be the end. But I must confess that I don't have any words to fully explain Holy Saturday. I don't have any grand concepts to fully explain the depth and the narrative of what was happening. I seem to be reduced to silence before the mystery of this day. But if I was pressed to answer that question of Job, if a man or a woman dies, will he or she live again? My strong answer will be yes. Yes, the man or the woman will live again. because I know that in my heart and I have seen that in my ministry. That's my experience. That's what I believe. There are really no words, I think, as we ponder the mystery of Saturday. There are no clear concepts that we are given in Scripture in terms of how we will live our lives. I think Jesus talked about being in communion with God as being that nature of how we deeply connect. Being in touch with something that transcends all of humanity through Jesus. Having our eyes opened to all the dimensions of life. Having our ears unstopped to hear the melodies and the harmonies of life that is beyond. I think in this story, there is an implicit invitation to life and to living. When explored deeply enough, when lived fully enough, when engaged significantly enough, is a way of passing from death and towards a way of new life. We know that it is possible to live, and we know that it is also possible to live. There are those finite moments that become infinite, timeless, passing into the divine. And I believe that we see in Jesus that when life is lived so powerfully, so profoundly, so deeply, so lovingly, when lived in this way, God's presence returns. Returns even after the powers and the forces of death have done their very absolute worst. This is the God that we meet in Jesus, who will not be bound by any human limits. When those who feared God's kingdom, its power, and were threatened by it, they killed it. Yet in the death of Jesus, they will realize that all they did was free it for all of eternity. In this time between death and resurrection, life is being freed for all time in all place. When the finite becomes infinite, eternal, and ever present. Time between death and resurrection is that time when we get this opportunity on Holy Saturday to stare, to view into this invisible barrier that separates us from the eternity. It's that moment we see in Jesus a window into the meaning and the depth of the timeless, which is God. As I said a bit earlier, I think there's a real danger when we think about the nature of truth and meaning today back to when it was explained in the early times. There is a real danger in our modern day of that proven nature, that quantifiable nature of truth. And indeed, there's a real danger when we try and quantify and prove what exactly Easter will be as well. Because to contain the timeless gift of Easter or Holy Saturday inside a literal interpretation or a literal framework is to doom Easter's truth to a death one day of irrelevance. And so what we are called to do today on Holy Saturday is to gather and simply to be, to listen, to allow our faith take hold of our lives. Hold our breath and to see what God's answer will be to the forces of death. Can the tomb hold Jesus? Or will there be a greater power at work? Is there a greater power that will indeed reduce evil and indeed triumph and bring restoration and bring hope and bring new life? Today we find ourselves somewhere between death and resurrection. And our faith, our soul, draws us there to the tomb to wait and to see. And so we sit and we wait, yet our heart knows what is ahead. Amen.